Hello and welcome to a brand new edition of the Current Account Podcast. I'm your host, Hamsini Karthik, and joining me today is Mr. A.M. Karthik, Senior Vice President and Co-Group Head, Financial Sector Ratings at ICRA. Karthik is here to decode a very interesting topic for us, also one which is in the vogue. Our NBFC is getting really hammered by the Reserve Bank of India. Well, this conversation follows the heightened regulatory attention over the NBFC sector. And in the last 12 to 18 months, big, small or medium, we've seen a lot of NBFCs come under the RBI's scrutiny for their business models. Is this approach of the RBI to ensure that a bubble is averted and there is no risk which is getting built up in the lending environment, and all of it is being done when the asset quality and even the operational environment is very benign to work with? Karthik is here to decode that and more for all of us. Thank you so much for joining in, Karthik.
The objective here of this podcast is to sort of try and figure out a couple of things. Look at what's happening at the NBFC space, maybe in the last 12 to 18 months, without getting into details of which company, what, etc. We found that, you know, a lot of NBFCs are getting pulled up by the regulator for very specific aspects, which the regulator believes that is not correct with the NBFC. Would you think that this is a preventive step that the regulator is trying to do so that we avert a bubble happening there, we avert a systemic risk sort of getting built up in that particular aspect over a period of time? And it's a preemptive cleanup and rectification of a system rather than allowing something bad or something wrong as a practice to fester for a long period of time, and then that becomes a threat to the system. How do you want to look at the sequence of all the events that have happened so far?
Hi, good evening. Yes, I mean, the recent supervisory actions that we have seen in some entities and the regulatory tightening in general, which we are seeing in the NBFC sector overall, at least in the last two quarters or so, indicates, you know, the regulator's concern stemming from the fact that the sector has seen very high credit growth. FY23 was a very high growth year from a credit point of view as far as NBFCs are concerned. The 9 months of the current financial year also has seen a back-on-back very strong growth performance across players. The actions that we see, you know, some of these are, of course, whatever you're seeing in the RBI's disclosures and notifications, there are various assessments which they have done. RBI does an annual review, inspects all the entities, does an audit on its own. What it is possibly trying to see is, are these lapses, you know, resulting in credit risk which can ensue going forward? This also again stems from the fact that the sector has seen a very sharp growth. So these actions are largely to guide the sector as a whole to tighten their internal controls, ensure adherence to all the regulatory and prudential norms that are applicable. And this is a way to possibly guide the sector as a whole to look at growth in a much more manageable fashion. So what we see in financial sector in general, you know, very high credit growth typically is followed by instances where quality related concerns crop up, and it is visible only on a later date, because during the high growth period, some of these issues do get masked by the fact that, your asset is growing very fast.
That's right.
So, and all these issues subsequently, if at all any, you know, will only be visible on a later date. So this is more like a preemptive action and a guidance to the sector as a whole to look at growth in a more manageable and a prudent fashion.
The timing of these measures is also very interesting, because while there is a reasonably high bit of growth, that's also keeping the overall asset quality very sublime and very manageable. So are we to also somewhere draw an inference that at a time when asset quality is healthy on the face of it, doing tweaks to businesses would only enhance the asset quality rather than come up with a larger problem at a later point in time.
In fact, the overall risk profile of the NBFC sector is quite comfortable, if I have to put it that way. Not only asset quality, the earnings performance, the capital profile, the liquidity that entities have been managing, exposure to, you know, short-term borrowings are very low. So overall, the sector is fairly well-placed. Right. So the risk profile from a credit point of view is fairly comfortable at this point in time for the sector as a whole. Sure. Of course, on the asset quality front, there are some concerns which one is seeing in one or two specific segments. Of course, the unsecured lending is where one is seeing initial shoots of trouble in terms of asset quality weakening, specifically within the unsecured space. Only a small segment within that where there are initial concerns that are visible. And one has seen the action taken by the regulator in November to at least arrest or bring down those concerns by these actions, which one saw in the month of November.
Right.
So RBI is taking a measured approach in terms of ensuring that the sector remains healthy. Subsequent issues which crop up, because, you know, systemically, when one is seeing a very strong growth, the systemic importance of the sector also goes up, because the quality we're talking about is much higher, and the integration and closeness to the overall systemic risk becomes larger when the size is higher. So that's the other factor, I think, the regulator is cognizant about and is taking timely actions to ensure things are moving in an orderly fashion.
Right, right. You had also mentioned earlier that high growth tends to be some sort of a red flag for the regulator. We've seen how the regulator has cracked it down with banks. There have been a few banks which historically grew in the band of 25-35% on an annualized basis, and this didn't go down well with the regulator, and they are in course correction. Whatever's happening with NBFCs, you see that as an extension of what we've seen with banks. And another side to this question, by definition, non-banks are meant to grow much faster than banks. So somewhere, does the whole thing add up like a counter thesis kind of a narrative for the NBFC sector?
See, the NBFC sector is still about 25-30% in relation to the overall banking size, right? So they are expected to grow at a higher pace than the banking sector as a whole. So coming from a lower base to start with. And a wider audience in terms of the target borrower segment. It's much more. They are the earlier entities to target new to credit and borrowers with limited credit or banking associations. So they are expected to grow very fast.
Yes.
What rate is a good rate to grow? Last year, 2023 was one of the fastest in terms of AUM growth, at least in the last, right? So the following year, this year also, we expect, if one were to look at it, excluding the infra, NBFCs, which are government-owned entities.
Right.
And leaving out housing finance companies, where you are seeing various changes. Housing finance companies have been growing at 12-14%. Last year was similar number. This year, we expect the same number. Next year also, it would be in the range bound, 12-14%. Yeah. But the NBFCs, which is, excluding the infra NBFCs, the growth last year was quite high, close to about 25%. This year, one is expecting 21-23%. And next year, which is 25, we're expecting 17-19%. So these are very high numbers, even in relation to what we are seeing in the banking sector as a whole. So the high growth rate will remain. The question, whether the high growth will always result in, accidents on a later date. It is only in theory. There are some experiences in the past, but the general expectation is that when the credit growth is high, there are higher possibilities of overlooking credit underwriting and internal control norms. So
Absolutely.
in a high growth scenario, the look inwards from an entity point of view and from a regulator's perspective would be to see whether all the controls are in position to ensure that the growth that is happening is orderly and is a good quality growth.
Right.
So that's where I think the emphasis has been. And this also is this emphasis by the regulator is also channeling entities to look inwards and tighten their controls if there is a scope for them. That's the direction that possibly is being guided by the regulator.
Right. About a month back, or a little less than a month ago, we had the deputy governor say that, NBFCs should no more be seen as shadows of a bank. And we're possibly stepping into the third year of grading banks as middle layer, upper layer, and so on. And since then, I mean, in the post IL&FS itself, we've seen on one side the notion is that the gap between banks and non-banks in terms of how ALM is managed, etc., is coming down. The kind of supervision is also increasing much more on them. But at the same time, somewhere we still have the notion that, non-banks are being governed and being seen as like banks itself. The regulator wants to have a different view about it. What's your take on that? And given how we've seen, very specific tightening in certain pockets, whether in terms of underwriting or in terms of customer approach, how do you look at the whole segment evolve?
So the systemic importance for the NBFC sector has certainly gone up, which I touched upon, initially. A 25 to 30% size in relation to the banking system is a fairly large number. I mean, if you compare it with many of the Southeast Asian countries, I think this number would stand out for a non-bank AUM or an asset in relation to the banking system asset for any specific country. So it's a fairly large number. And the regulator has been quite proactively ensuring that as the systemic importance of the sector goes up, the regulations are also commensurately tightened and harmonized in relation to the banking system. And we have seen this happening at least for the last decade or so. There are various changes which has been implemented in terms of reporting, internal controls, prudential norms, and of course governance related aspect. So the significant harmonization, in fact, I mean the harmonization is not complete, but we have seen a sizable amount of changes across the factors to ensure that NBFCs are largely in line with banks as far as prudential norms are concerned, reporting is concerned, and approach for credit is concerned. So whether it is an NPA reporting or recognition, management level changes, requirements, etc., various other aspects. So in fact,
Karthik, if I can interrupt you there, the NBFC sector believes that they are functioning very similar to what banks are. But the deputy governor that day made a very interesting point that while you may believe so, you're not anywhere close to how a bank should be. So there is a little bit of divergence in the thought processes here. Non-banks believe that they function as good as banks, but the regulator who's supposed to ratify it believes that there's still a wide gap. How do you see that narrative build out?
there is a bit of difference. I mean, banks do have some specialized products and activities which they undertake, and NBFCs are not allowed to do that as yet. But what I was trying to bring out is the enormity of the sector as a whole and the systemic closeness and connectedness to the overall financial space. That has gone up, and that is where the importance of the NBFCs as a whole comes out.
Okay.
NBFCs cannot function as a bank. I mean, of course, there are sizable activities which a banks can take up, which NBFCs cannot.
Right.
So they are not close from a functioning point of view, but from an importance and interconnectedness which they have with the financial sector as a whole, as
Right.
a lender or as a borrower, So it does have ramifications across the financial stability if things are not orderly in fashion. So let me put it that way. So of course,
Okay.
there is still some way to go. There are harmonization of rules is just to ensure that the NBFCs take up controls in the same fashion as banks do in terms
That's
of reporting, recognition, controls, etc., etc.
fair enough, fair enough. That brings us to the last question. There is a view largely building within NBFCs that, we are being unduly scrutinized, supervised, and restricted. This is not good for us. This is not going to allow us to grow the way we should be in order to cater to the credit demand of the country. Is that a view that you would subscribe at ICRA, or you, Karthik, at a personal level would subscribe to?
I think regulations are always good to have. And from a risk point of view, regulations do bring in a level of control in what is being done. And credit business is all about doing things in a controlled fashion. The question of excess regulation, that is something that is, it's a perspective from an issuer's point of view, thinking that, constraints, their internal assessment of a risk or their business plan would be seen as a constraining factor. But from a systemic point of view and from a long-term perspective, regulations are good to have. In fact, the regulations which has been put in or controls which are being suggested are
Right.
very targeted and
Right.
proper rationale. So it will be difficult to say that it is constraining as a whole. This is good to have, and working within the realm of the set guidelines help in ensuring that the overall health of the financial system remains under control. You don't want
Right.
any accidents, right? Because at the end of the day, the perception matters a lot. So even if there are, any one issue at one part of the financial sector space, it is likely to have a ripple effect on entities operating in the same space or related to that entity from a sector
Correct.
point.
Right.
So it is better to, operate within the realm of regulation, and the regulations I believe are most being ta and largely targeted and orderly. So it is good to have.
Perfect, perfect. Thank you so much for all the views that you put forth, Karthik. Really appreciate you joining us. Thanks a lot.
Sure. Thank you. Good day.
With that, it's a wrap on this edition of the Current Account Podcast. We'll be back with a very interesting conversation in just about a fortnight. See you then.